Welcome to the Research Impact podcast series. I'm your host, Yvonne Kiley. I am the Research Impact Officer here at the University of Limerick. On today's podcast, I will be talking to Siobhan Meaney, Clinical Lead at the Rapid Innovation Unit in the University of Limerick and one of the supervisors of the Breast Prosthesis Project. Dr. Lorraine Walsh, Consultant Radiation Oncologist, Mater Private Network Limerick and collaborator on the project. And Emma Jude Lines, PhD researcher at the Rapid Innovation Unit, RIU, in the University of Limerick. We will be discussing their current research project, creating bespoke breast prosthesis for women post-mastectomy using state-of-the-art digital manufacturing. The new pilot service is the result of a successful collaboration between the Rapid Innovation Unit at University of Limerick, UL, the Symptomatic Breast Care Unit at University Hospital Limerick, UHL, and the Mater Private Network's Midwestern Radiation Oncology Centre. It is a first-of-its-kind service globally, using 3D scanning and printing to improve the quality of life for survivors of breast cancer. Welcome to the Research Impact podcast series. Thank you for joining us today. First things first, I'm intrigued to know how this idea evolved and how this collaboration came about. So we'll go to you first, Lorraine.
Thanks, Yvonne. I attended a lecture last October at University Hospital Limerick. We call them grand round lectures. They typically take place in large academic teaching hospitals where someone with a new development or a special interest comes every week and presents to the entire medical community. I was intrigued by the title of the Rapid Innovations Unit talk about 3D printing in a clinical setting. So I went along last October, and I suppose it was a bit of a light bulb moment at the time, because the team that were discussing various projects that they'd worked on, developing bespoke 3D printed items for patients at University Hospital Limerick. At the same time, I had pretty much a couple of days beforehand seen a patient who was nearing the end of her radiotherapy for a breast cancer diagnosis. And when I was examining her chest wall, because she had had a mastectomy with removal of the entire breast, she flung her bra and prosthesis onto the examining couch, complaining about how heavy it was. And certainly when I picked it up, it seemed to weigh almost like a couple of bags of sugar. And I was appalled at how unsuitable, I suppose, this prosthesis was for the lady. So at the grand round lectures, I approached Kevin O'Sullivan, who was giving the talk, asked him, would he like to come over someday to maybe discuss a couple of projects further? So he took me up on the offer and came over along with Emma Jude. And slowly things began to take shape from there. We, along with Emma Jude's help, began to work on the potential of maybe 3D printing a more suitable prosthesis for these women who were finishing their radiotherapy after their mastectomy. So currently, when women have a mastectomy, they're offered a variety of different prostheses. They vary from silicone prostheses, which are very, very heavy and they can weigh down the bra. The spongy ones are somewhat similar to a spongy bra. They're almost too light. And then sometimes women just put some tissue into their bra or make something handmade. And invariably, a lot of women don't wear anything. So when patients are diagnosed with breast cancer, the typical management is a combination of surgery, sometimes chemotherapy, hormonal treatments and radiotherapy. At University Hospital Limerick in the Symptomatic Breast Unit, we have on average 5,000 referrals per year, of which 300 patients are ultimately diagnosed with breast cancer. Many of those women are lucky enough to be able to have breast conserving surgery, where the tumor alone is removed and the remainder of the breast is left intact. However, some women who have more advanced forms of breast cancer need to have the entire breast removed, which is what's called a mastectomy. Now, some of those women can go on to have what's called a surgical reconstruction, which is where a surgeon reconstructs a what looks like a breast on the patient's chest wall using either the patient's own muscle and tissue and or inserting an implant such as a silicone or a saline implant. However, for many patients, they may not be in the right frame of mind to have an immediate or a delayed reconstruction. So they then need to go on to wear a prosthesis, which is something external from the chest wall that they wear in a bra. And of course, this can be a huge reminder to patients once they have the breast cancer treatment completed, that they've had a breast cancer diagnosis, and it can significantly impact on their femininity, and they can have significant quality of life and body image issues. The National Cancer Control Programme, which oversees the diagnosis and delivery and prevention of cancer in Ireland, is currently placing huge emphasis on the survivorship of patients following treatment for cancer. So whilst the treatments for cancer, and particularly breast cancer, which is what we're talking about here, have changed hugely and for the better over the last couple of decades, and patients are living longer, you know, we have to be mindful of the fact that patients also need to be able to survive and thrive following completion of treatment. They need to be able to come full circle and go back to the same woman that they were prior to the diagnosis and treatment. So this is just an example of how we can help. We won't solve all the problems, but it's an example of how we can help.
We were absolutely delighted when Lorraine contacted us following the lecture in Grand Rounds. So just a little bit about the Rapid Innovation Unit, RIU. It's a research group between the University of Limerick and the University of Limerick Hospital Group. And we're funded by Science Foundation Ireland. We work out of the Confirm Smart Manufacturing Centre. So in our team in the Rapid Innovation Unit, we have got three researchers and there's three PhD students. My role within the Rapid Innovation Unit is I'm the clinical team lead, and I suppose I act as the bridge between the academic side and the clinical side. The primary focus of the Rapid Innovation Unit is 3D printing for healthcare, and we have been involved in many clinical projects in relation to bespoke 3D printing devices for many patients that we're going to talk about throughout this podcast.
And Emma Jude, I suppose, how did it come about with regards, I know it's your PhD, so maybe you could elaborate on that.
So thankfully, I was able to take this project on as my PhD project. And as Lorraine said, that the patient came in and she was really unsatisfied with her silicone prosthesis. So they're very generic. They weigh quite a lot. And there has been many problems with them, such as weight and a variety of different things. And a variety of different women have given out about them as well. So we kind of took this opportunity to develop a new prosthesis.
What does this research aim to do, Emma Jude? And what direction do you see it going in?
So this research aims to give women back the freedom that they had pre-mastectomy through the design, print and fit of these prostheses to the participants. So the breast prosthesis can be bespoke in three custom ways. So it'll be lighter in weight. So it'll come in at about a quarter of a weight of the silicone prosthesis. So it doesn't weigh down in your bra. The prosthesis also gives perfect anatomical symmetry across the chest wall, and with the infill that can be altered to make sure the prosthesis feels as most like the patient as possible. And because this research started with a patient problem that she was living with in the real world, and this was affecting her everyday life, she was able to articulate the problem with a variety of the team. And from that, then we were able to create this set of guidelines to figure out how we could best help her and how we could come up with the best solution for her. And it was through the communication with the team and with the patient, and the design and testing of a variety of materials and technologies that we use on a daily basis in RIU, that we were able to come back with better iterations for her. And because this is research and it is continuing on, we aim to really explore all of the possible outcomes and to get more patients involved to really figure out what is the best prosthesis and what is the best solution for these women so that they can go back to their pre-mastectomy way of life.
And I suppose you mentioned already the impact on the patients' lives. How significant is the impact to the patients' lives? And is this something that the project will capture? Because obviously it's really important to capture the outputs and the effects of your research.
So we have worked very closely with the patient, as we mentioned, and firstly, I cannot thank her enough, and I think the whole team can thank her enough for being so involved and willing to give up her time to test the different prostheses that we've given her and to give us her feedback and really talk us through all of the issues that she had, first of all, and all of the different things that she would like to change in our design currently. She is such a champion for women post-mastectomy and a vital reason that the project has come along so quickly and so well. And our patient has been wearing the most recent prosthesis for approximately 3 months, and it's made an enormous difference to her life. She feels like it's going back to normal, that she's getting back her life that she had pre-mastectomy. It was important that she feels like she's not wearing anything extra in her bra, that it is kind of one with her, like it's just a normal piece of clothing or anything else that you would wear on your daily basis. And she always says that she puts it into the bra and she'll wear it until that bra needs to go on the wash, and she'll just put it into the next one that she's wearing. So it's so important to make sure that she's not itching to get it off by the end of the day, and it makes her, it puts her at ease to go back to work and to go back to socializing. So of course, the iteration process when getting the people or the patients their bespoke breast prosthesis in the pilot study, it's so important that they are able to come back with their changes and iterations that they would like to the prosthesis, so that we can know and understand how to best make these for everyone. So with the 3D modelling, it's actually very simple to be able to make such changes to the breast prosthesis, the digital model itself. And then we are hoping then that the turnaround print time would be less than 24 hours, so that to model, to change the model and to make the alteration that they would like, and to then print the prosthesis, a new prosthesis, it would take less than 24 hours. So the idea is to not have a long waiting game for these patients, so that they can tell us their iterations and that we're able to get back to them as quickly as possible, to give them a new prosthesis, to make sure that is okay. And all of this for the pilot study is to make sure that we have the best possible workflow and to understand what the patients actually want from these prostheses, so that when we're making them for the entire community and when it's rolled out officially, that we will have as little snags as possible to be able to give every patient their perfect prosthesis that they can then live with.
And I suppose, Lorraine, just going to yourself, how significant is the impact to the patients' lives from a medical perspective, from your perspective?
Well, I suppose for the patient concerned in this instance, the problem she had was that she was quite a large-breasted lady, and the prosthesis she was having to wear was extremely heavy. So it was dragging down in her bra, so the bra was sagging. And then she even said herself, when she was lifting up her arm or moving around, it would poke its nose up under her t-shirt. So it was moving around. It wasn't like a natural breast. It was very generically shaped as well. It didn't resemble in any way her normal breast on the opposite side, and there was no symmetry there. The other thing to note as well is with these prostheses, whether they're silicone, which is when they're too heavy, or sponge when they're too light, they can't be worn in a woman's normal bra. So they have to be worn in a special mastectomy bra, which looks kind of clinical and not very attractive for a woman. So there's all of those features of the prosthesis that she was wearing are now gone. So she now has something that is symmetrical, something that doesn't move around on her chest wall, something that is an acceptable weight. So it resembles in weight her own native breast on the opposite side, and she can wear her normal bra. So with that alone has made a huge impact on that particular lady's quality of life. And I'm sure it'll be the same for all the other women who are queuing up to have one designed for them.
So Majude, from your perspective with regards to your PhD, I'm sure there are measures that you need to meet with regards to your research. How do you intend to do this in the project?
Yeah, so of course there's many different kind of variables and stuff that we need to account for and that we need to be able to measure. The first thing that was most important to us is finding out what these patients would actually want from their new bespoke breast prosthesis, because if you don't know exactly firsthand what they want, you can't design properly for a person. So we sent out a selection of questionnaires to people to find out what they thought about their current breast prosthesis, whether it is a silicone one, a mesh one, or a handmade one, to find out what they thought about them, what their likes and dislikes were, and to really see what they would like from their bespoke breast prosthesis if they were to have one. So that was the first thing. And with the cohort of patients that will be going through the process of getting a bespoke prosthesis in the first pilot study, we're going to have feedback on the process itself. So how they felt going through the scanning and chatting and figuring out how squishy, we're calling the squish factor, how that they would actually like it to feel. So we're going to be looking at the process, and then we'll also be looking at the prosthesis as well. And once we have kind of gone through the iteration process to make sure that they really like and feel comfortable with their prosthesis, we'll be doing kind of a post interview, post questionnaire to find out all the information that they have on their new bespoke prosthesis and how it has surpassed their old generic prosthesis for them.
Are there other medical applications where this form of bespoke prosthesis could be used, imagers?
Well, bespoke prosthesis, it's something that is advancing every day, especially 3D printed ones. There are many people and companies researching and creating bespoke prosthesis for a variety of different people, such as amputees and different things like that, because the power of 3D scanning and printing is phenomenal, and it only makes sense to use it to give people back the freedom that they had and enhance their quality of life. And that's what we're trying to do with these women who are post-mastectomy. We are trying to get them back to normal and really enhance their life, because of course with the mastectomy their breast cancer may be gone or reduced, which is obviously the main point of it all. And that is what they want when they're going in for surgery and their treatments. But at the end of the day, they then need to live for the rest of their life with only one breast. And it is a small price to pay in a way that the cancer has been resolved or it's gone. But they do need to live with this for the rest of their life. And we want to make sure that they're not just surviving, that they're thriving. And hopefully this prosthesis will get them back to that level.
That's excellent. And really, you can see that this project is going to make a huge difference. And Siobhan, from a RIU perspective, any other medical applications where this form of bespoke prosthesis could be used?
Yes, I suppose we're very much into personalised bespoke devices for patients. And we've been working with all the hospitals in the group for the last number of years. And one story that really sticks out for me is of a lady that we met in St. John's Hospital. She was a lady in her 60s that had severe rheumatoid arthritis, and she really only had a claw grip left. She was recovering from a bowel resection, and she had spent 30 days in the intensive care unit in Limerick Regional, and she was transferred over to St. John's for rehab. And her big issue was she was finding it very difficult to feed herself. She was independent living before she came, before she had the bowel resection, and she was really anxious to get back to independent living. And she had tried all the arthritic cutlery, which you can buy online, and none of them were suitable for her needs. They were too chunky and they were too heavy. So we went down and we met with this lady, and we just took a picture and measured her grip. And within, you know, 3 or 4 hours, we were, after printing off an attachment that went on to the existing cutlery, and brought it back down to her. And she was just overjoyed. She was having her supper and, you know, she wanted to make sure that the spoon was also working. So, you know, in the middle of her supper, she had to go and have her yogurt in the middle of it just to make sure the spoon was working. And, you know, before she was discharged, she asked, by any chance, could we make her another set, because she wanted a set for the handbag so that when she goes out, that she'd have a set in the handbag, you know. So that was something that made a huge difference to her, like a lady that was really kind of going towards nursing home care, and, you know, to see her discharged out to sheltered accommodation because she was able to kind of feed herself. And she was actually blown away by what we were able to do for her, you know. And I suppose that's so important for the Rapid Innovation Unit. You know, it's about individualized, you know, there isn't a market there to create that kind of cutlery for somebody for rheumatoid arthritis, but it made such a difference to Maureen.
So I know here today we're talking about Emma Jewell's research in relation to the breast prosthesis, but other research strands that we're involved in the Rapid Innovation Unit would include looking at bespoke mallet splints for mallet injuries. What we are currently doing, and we have recruited X amount of patients for this study, and what we are doing is we're 3D printing splints. So we take 8 measurements of the mallet injury finger, and then we print off a splint which is custom made to the patient's finger, as opposed to what is currently available on the market, which is small, medium, large, extra large splint. So this is something that's really, really exciting. You know, it's something that we're hoping, again, that this service will be in all local injury units, and it will be like a kind of a click and collect service that you'd come in, get your finger measured, and, you know, 2 hours later, your splint is printed off, will only fit your finger, will ensure treatment is optimal.
Thanks, Siobhan. And Lorraine, I suppose you've seen firsthand the effect this 3D printing has had on the lady with the breast prosthesis. How do you see, or can you see, this being used in other medical scenarios?
It's very much what Siobhan has alluded to there. I mean, there's probably endless ways in which 3D printing can be used in the clinical setting. I only just saw a patient there before I came over who had a skin cancer resected from over her ear. And it was quite a challenging lesion that we now have to deliver radiotherapy to, because it's such a complex shape and the ear is full of little caverns and air. So I was only thinking that I might have another project for Emma Jude.
I mean, I'd be busy.
I'd say we could talk for the morning about the various ways in which 3D printing can be used.
Given the fact that Lorraine has spoken about keeping you very busy, Emma Jude, how is your current research funded?
So my current PhD is funded through the Irish Research Council and Breakthrough Cancer Research in Cork, and they have been wonderful endorsers and supporters of this project.
And in relation to the breast prosthesis project, we applied for funding through the Public Services Innovation Fund at the end of last year, and we were successful in that. And that has given us the opportunity now to, for the initial setup, to purchase the equipment, the scanner, the PC and the printer. And I would hope that they will be all in place by October of this year.
And Emma Jude, you've given us a great insight into, I suppose, a real life, real world, tackling real world problems here in your PhD. I'm very interested to explore a little bit more on, with regards to yourself, what makes you curious and how does the University of Limerick support you in your research journey?
I think starting as a product designer, you are inherently curious and you always want to make the world a better place with your ideas and solutions, and constantly thinking of methods to improve the products and systems around you. And UL and RIU have really given me the space to do that. I started with my undergraduate in product design technology here in UL, and I had the best time doing that course, and it gave me the opportunity to develop so many skills within product design, but within being able to talk to people and really kind of understand the user needs that people have and how to communicate with them to make sure that you are giving them the best product and the best design possible. And it was through my co-op within UL is when I first started working with RIU, and it's just kind of grown and gone on from there. And RIU as a whole, we've been given a great space to be able to conduct our research and great ties with the hospital. And that's why we have such good collaboration on projects like these, because we've such kind of open lines of communication and the ability to collaborate with all the hospitals within the UHL group. And that is kind of how, obviously, this project has come about through Lorraine and Mr. Babin as well.
And she's going to keep you busy, so.
Obviously, yes. Going to keep us all very busy.
You heard it here first. Tell the listeners, I suppose, what's next? What's the planned rollout? And what's next for this research project and future research?
Well, now that we've been awarded the funding, and as Siobhan said, we have to purchase the 3D printer. So that is going to be housed in the symptomatic breast unit at University Hospital Limerick, where the entire breast care team works. So you have the radiologists there, the breast surgeons, the breast care nurses, the radiographers, and the entire team. It's a lovely floor in the Laban building. And once the printer is installed, then there's going to be workflows generated so that the actual clinical staff over at University Hospital Limerick will be able to take over from Emma Jude's work and actually provide the service to the patients that are going through the centre there. Obviously, we have to prove that this is workable and that the actual product is acceptable to patients. So there will be an initial pilot project, which hopefully we will be up and running in the third quarter of this year. And then we are optimistic, assuming that women are coming back with very positive feedback, then the hope would be to expand out the service then to a much larger group of patients in Limerick next year, and then maybe further to other symptomatic breast units then throughout the country thereafter.
It is really, you know, a very exciting project to be involved in. We launched the project back in May of this year, and there was a piece done on Hospital Live, the RT programme, and the feedback that we've got from that piece. You know, lots of women have contacted the breast unit that are really interested in availing of this service. You know, one thing that has come from so many of the ladies that have had mastectomies is the difficulty with their prosthesis. And I know we have said it over and over here again, you know, but for their whole quality of life, you know, it's going to be a really special service, you know, that they are going to have this symmetry back, that it's not going to be just generic shaped, you know. It's really exciting. It's great to be part of it, and, you know, to be part of the whole rollout of this service. And I suppose what we would hope is that, you know, once we've completed the pilot and we have, as Lorraine said, the workflows in place, that this is something that could be rolled out nationally. I think also it's important to remember that this service is first of its kind worldwide, and isn't it wonderful to see it's coming from Limerick?
Many thanks for your time today. Your work truly exemplifies research excellence with impact and will change the lives of many women post-mastectomy. You have been listening to Siobhan Meaney, Clinical Lead at the Rapid Innovation Unit, University of Limerick, Dr. Lorraine Walsh, Consultant Radiation Oncologist, Mater Private Network, Limerick, and Emma Jude Lyons, PhD Researcher at the Rapid Innovation Unit in the University of Limerick. This research has been supported by the Irish Research Council, Science Foundation Ireland, Breakthrough Cancer Research Cork, and the Public Service Innovation Fund. If you would like to hear more about our research impact, please go to our website ul.ie/research. Thank you for listening.